Way better now. Like I have
You said you're supposed to do what?
when you're on so basically for women, when they're on their cycle, one of the things that they should do to help replenish, because remember, we got to understand that women have their cycles as a way to erase what was prepared for the baby beforehand. So like your body prepares itself, the womb is prepared for you to conceive. If you don't conceive within that 30 days, it strips away the lining that was prepared for that baby. It discharges everything. That's the cycle. So you're getting rid of all the extra fluid and tissue that the body produced to make way for a new life.
You're supposed to do.
Just in case you got pregnant, we prepare for you. So if you don't conceive, and as your body's going through the cycle to cleanse, you're supposed to eat red food to help replenish, to help heal the area of the body, your womb, from what it went through.
So when you are, oh, that's fun. So when you are doing smoothies and juices, what's your philosophy on mixing different color vegetables and fruits together?
I try to stay within. I guess I try to stay within, but I do, on my own personal note, I do try, I am in the mindset of that this particular color, like for blueberries, is going towards a chakra, like it's going my solar plexus, or so I do, and I'm being that mindset. Like if I'm making something with oranges or it's all orange, I'm in the mindset of my midsection and healing that area. So I think that we tapped into juicing because people wanted to lose weight or they felt guilty about how they was eating, not realizing it was really supposed to align your whole body. Like it wasn't, it's not just for because you overate this one day or you need something to break the fast. It's to align you, to keep you balanced. It's like a Libra inside your body. It's to keep you balanced.
Sure. And we was talking about prior to also nutrition, and as far as the types of foods you're eating when you're preparing or training your body, which I'll let you cover as far as women are going, well, shit, when the woman and man are going through pregnancy, when you're going through
Yeah,
that
you just want
journey.
to be more health conscious because they y'all tired more. You know what I'm saying? Both men and women, which is why you see a man laying around though saying and be like, oh, you got somebody pregnant? Because both of y'all energies is tied into making that baby. Yeah, her physical energy is being pulled, like her physical substance is being pulled from to create the baby, but your loins is attached to that baby. You're still attached to the creation of that baby, so naturally, you get a little bit thug, like you get like just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily lazy, but it's like, damn, like if I gotta walk up five stairs, it feel like it's 15 or 20 stairs. Like you gotta really push yourself to do it because you're connected.
And there's a lot of psychological understanding people have to start tapping into when it comes to nutrition of any time. When you're just changing your diet, when you're just trying to change your lifestyle, you have to be mindful for everything you do in this world. There has to be an adjustment period. You can't just jump off the porch and start eating completely new foods because you don't know how that those foods are going to affect your body. Those
Right.
are ways too we become more sluggish, I feel like, during the pregnancy journey when you're just eating a whole bunch of new things for the first time because you don't know what effect this is going to have on you, and especially not mixing them together. It's going to have a whole new effect. You know what I mean? Like, so those things we have to be conscious of when we enter these new journeys. You can't just go to the store and start get picking out vegan stuff and eating it. Like, you got to really understand what you're eating. And then you got to give
Yeah.
your body and your mind and your soul time to adapt to what you're eating. And you have to change your lifestyle to fit what you're eating.
Exactly.
I feel like that gets a lot of people too. You eating the right stuff and the right herbs and you know the right words, but your soul is real bad.
Exactly. Because you'll see people, you'll see people a lot of times where they're still struggling with their weight, even though maybe they work out 6 days a week or vice versa. They eating healthy and they don't work out at all, but there's a struggle. It's because this spiritual warfare that we're in, it's not only the, it's also in the foods. It's in the foods. It's in the television. It's in the music. It's in our families. It's in how we think. It's in our makeup. But we have to understand that cause and effect is within the whole body. So I can think, bad about myself and be beautiful, the most beautiful person. It's going to come out in one way, shape, or form. It may come out with a sickness or disease, or it may come out in my attitude, how I treat people. That energy that I'm holding, the negative energy that I hold for myself or for anybody else is going to show up. Same with the food. You eating some food at some point in time, it's going to show up. It's going to show up in a way of how I speak to people or the way I smell. You know what I'm saying? You might be able to smell that grease pouring off of me, and the mental. So when it comes to training people for conception, for pregnancy, I want us to understand this is the fight of your life. You understand? This is nothing to play around with, and it's sad because it's been such a joke for so long, because it's now it's like anybody can get pregnant. You can get pregnant by looking at somebody. You can get pregnant by speaking to her. So it's not the sacredness that used to be behind life coming in and being an answer to our prayers and being exactly what we need for right now. We gone away from that. It's more so like oops type of thing. So everything is by mistake. No, these things are still happening for a reason. Everything is still on purpose, whether we participating in the purpose or not. It's still on purpose. It's still happening. And so, with that being said, now we have to do due diligence to take care of the body that's going to house these new lives and bring them forth. Because, like I said before, I got shut off the last live, is that the inside of your body is creating a whole new life. That's going to be able to do what you did over and over again and continue on. So we have to take care of home first, home base. And it starts with the two of y'all, starts with the people that's creating that baby and the things that you're putting on the inside of you, because it does matter. And I got to go. I thought I had a lighter right here and I don't. So let me.
Nah, but you're hitting the nail on the head. And these are the tests that we're looking for. I know a lot of times we're as people, we're looking for tests to evolve, tests so we can develop, tests so we can progress. And these are the tests, learning with simply what you're eating and what your body's rejecting. Because your body's naturally going to know what to reject. But a lot of times we aren't on the same page. We're living in want and our body's living in what it needs. So that is a form of self-care. That is a form of communication when you listening to your body, when you respecting what your body's telling you versus doing what you want to do.
There we go. This is very true. Listening to that body. I think I'm trying to find something in here on watermelons, but a while ago, or basil, a while ago, this church that I was in, they did this thing on kingdom music, right? And so they basically encouraged the entire church to bring anything that wasn't kingdom music to the altar and break it and sacrifice it in exchange for this other thing. But in that teaching, I remember the pastor telling us just how like music is food for the soul. And so the same way we got fast food that's not like I got it's fast food places that I would absolutely never. You couldn't pay me. You would have to actually have to pay me. You would have to pay me to eat there. Not that you couldn't pay me. No, you would have to pay me to eat there. But it's the same with music. It's some music that is created. You have to pay me to listen to sit in here and just listen to this. Because while I'm listening to it, I can feel my body. Y'all sit around. That's another thing. You can test this on your own. Sit around either a TV show that's not filling you up and putting no good substance in you, or some music, and you can actually feel the reaction your body is having to what you're hearing and what you're, because you, I mean, you can lie to yourself all day, you can lie to people all day, but the body knows what the body knows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the truth of the matter. It's the real deal Holyfield.
And you can't fight against that feeling because you're communicating with yourself. You send it a loud and very clear message. Now I know exactly what she's talking about. It feels like your head is about to explode. And I can't listen 1 second more. I'm like, nope, I'm cool. Like, it's so uncomfortable.
Or I start to figure out, this is how people lose their shit. Like, this is how people get it into their mind that they can go from 0 to 1,000.
Yeah. And that's that moment to where they're able to get distracted. From knowing how the world works. Like, all these actions have consequences. Like, they sound cute as lyrics, but in the real world it has consequences. And a lot of people making that fast music don't even,
oh no,
you know what I mean, a lot of them don't even live that lifestyle that make the music. They're just peddling it.
Right, exactly. And so when it comes to, and mind you, what y'all doing in your own spare time when you ain't conceiving or ain't thinking about having children, I mean, we all human, so I'm not saying that it's the worst. I'm saying that you got to understand that this spiritual realm, yeah, you can't see certain things, you can't see certain entities or certain beings and certain powers that be, but you can feel them,
right?
And the more you get in tune, the food helps you get in tune with what's happening on the inside of the body. Because we can look on the outside and it's like, oh, everything looks fine. I have no blemishes, got no pimples, you know, ain't nothing leaking from no special places. Like, we good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's happening on the inside of your body? And 9 times out of 10, the only way you can know that is, sometimes you got to quiet the mind. You got to put the ratchet music up for a little bit. You got to listen to something with just no words and just instrumentals, or the TV putting that up, or the phone setting that to the side. And then on top of that, what goes hand in hand is, now, okay, I might have some herbal tea, or I might hit Wally up for some of that Wally watermelon juice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I might do something some different ways so I can quiet and hear and actually be in tune with, you know, I ate that burger the other day, or I ate this and I had a pain, or my heart started, or something right here started hurting. Like, y'all know your heart is right here. People do that all the time. They be having pains. I'm like, yeah, but what you just eat? And if it's not the food, then what are you thinking? What are you listening? It's something that's going in your body. Something goes in one of these gates, your nose, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, vagina, men for you, penis, anus. Y'all got gates. We got entryways into the body. That's the only way we're able to be affected. Something enters in and it'll start corrupting us. And you'd be like, oh, I ain't sleeping well. Or I ain't feeling well. Okay, well, if it's not always the food, because people be so quick, like, I'm healthy. Okay, well, let me come over and see. And I can guarantee I can find some shit up in there that you'd be like, I had no idea. Because, yeah, you ain't reading the labels. And I've been studying this stuff since 2010. You know what I'm saying? I've been over 10 years. I've been studying how we eat, reading labels, what's good for us, what ain't good for us. So, and I was my first study. Like, I was the one that I was like, oh, one day I was 130. And 2 weeks later, I was like 155. Because I was eating healthy. At my sit down job that had a cafeteria downstairs where they cook everything for me.
That's dangerous.
Hey man, hey, but I was eating healthy, man. He's up there cooking them eggs, and he put vegetables in there to make you think that you're eating healthy. Then you go grab some other shit that you think is healthy, a muffin and something biscuit. Like, none of this shit is, I was eating, like, literally when I gained that in that short time, my doctor literally said, what did you do? What is wrong with you? Because I had to take a test. You know, they have you take the tuberculosis and all that. And it's something in our blood. I always come back positive for tuberculosis. So they always had me do x-rays and the whole thing. So I knew I was going to have to come back. Well, I came back exactly 2 weeks later How did I gain 20-something pounds? Like, I could be dead. Like, just because of eating. Nothing else. Not on no drugs. I wasn't even smoking at the time. Wasn't drinking. I was holy rolling in church. And the only thing that made me happy was King Jesus.
Well, and food.
And food, hey.
Had a good helping of both.
Man, and at 155, it don't seem like a lot. 150, 155 don't seem like a lot. It don't until you realize, because it don't to me now since I've been over 200.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I went to go put some pants on, and I was like, I just had these pants on the other day. Can't wear the pants. So I'm in the doctor's office, and he said, what you been doing? I said, well, I've been eating healthy. You know, he said, what you eat? He said, well, I want you to mark down. Give me 3 days. And this is what I have my clients do now. I just need 3 days. And don't be trying to be cute with it. Because right. The only way we're going to help you is if we know the truth. So you don't need to lie. This is not a lying thing. This is an eye opener so that you can understand what you think is healthy is really killing you. Mm-hmm. It's unhealthy.
That means so put every Snickers bar on there.
Right.
Leave one off.
Debbie cake, the Nutty Buddy. And then don't. It's not for me. This is for y'all.
Right.
I got my walk. I know now I'm learning my body. So I know how many weeks I can go without doing physical exercise besides just getting up and doing the regular mundane stuff. How long I can go before my body starts getting out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that I can combat that a lot with what I put on the table in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's been since I've been under 200 pounds since 2017. And I haven't been back to, and I haven't been sick. See, I'm talking about this COVID, like all of this is tied in.
Yeah.
Sickness is not only from what you eat or what you touch or picking up a disease from somewhere else, but it's also what you internalize. Like y'all carrying sickness from some shit that ain't got nothing to do with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody else's problem or someone else's situation, overwhelming, burdening situation, you've applied that and attach that to your own daily life and your only daily thoughts and routines. Yeah, that's making you sick, sis.
Yeah, because you still coming in and out of the hot and cold. You know what I mean? Even if you look at it as far as that way, when you get a cold or when you get the sniffles, it's that change in environment. And yes. That's a lot of these people's life. You're around a bunch of chaos and then you try to go sit in silence. Your body's going to be in balance. Just how we saying with the health food, like, yeah, it seems like you're doing the right thing, but you putting a bunch of good shit on top of bullshit. The bullshit don't just go away. Right, you know what I mean?
Right. A negative and a positive still equals negative.
Yep. So it's learning ourselves. And that's the most important part that I always tell people when we start talking spirituality or nutrition, like, you have to find your way. My way is not going to work for you. And right. It took me years to figure out my way. It's not something you could just stumble into. You got to intentionally practice it. You know what I mean? But the first step is you going to have to sacrifice that comfy, safe life. This shit is hard. Fasting is hard. You know, I tell people that all the time. It doesn't get no easier. It's always going to be hard.
Right. And you're right, Tim, about listening to your body. Because even with working out, like, I went to the Hoover Dam with my buddy. And it's not because he's a man, because he's bigger than me. He's not necessarily taller. I'm talking about in weight. He's bigger than me, but he can run further than I can before he give up. That's his race. It's not my race. Not my race. If I say I'm running to the second light pole, then damn it, I need to make it to the second light pole. His is the fourth. I'm not there yet. I told him next week I'm gonna try to go to the third one, but damn, even that, like thinking about making it to the second. Yeah, but that's his race. And that was one of the things he told me when we was running. He was like, don't try to run my race. And he was like, I don't mean that just on this hill. I mean that in life. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a fucking millionaire. He's a multi-millionaire. I can't compare the way he lived his life or how he do things in his life to my life because I don't have him as a couple million that I can actually go touch and rub on and shit.
Mm-hmm. Take a bath in. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, all that.
Because you're gonna be like, living different
with the stripper gun in the bedroom.
You already plans for the million. I like it. Man, you gotta be prepared.
All of that. I would smack me with that shit. Okay. It's gonna get a little spicy with the buddy for sure.
And that's what comes from those type of meetings. That's what comes from those type of ordeals. You know what I mean? I remember when it was a joke going around, like, you're gonna have the dinner with Jay-Z, you feel me, or get the money. You hang around those people so they can show you the lifestyle, show you the habits that you're gonna have to pick up. They're not gonna teach you how to make $1 million. They're gonna teach you how to become the person that's gonna make it for yourself, that's gonna go through your lane, and you're also gonna be fulfilled at the end. Because a lot of people get that money and ain't happy still.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, we can get the body we want. We can get the money we want, but like you said, what are you doing about the inside? And you always should be doing inside work, because like we said about being sick, your environment constantly changing. Your environment is constantly changing when you're growing, when you're progressing, when you're changing your life. You're going to be in a constant state of shock and, damn, am I prepared? You know what I mean? Yeah. So to me, the easiest foundation is changing who you are on the inside and then listening to who that shows you are on the outside. But a lot of people have this fantasy of who they want to be, and they're trying to force their inside to look like the outside. You dig what I'm saying? And our internal shapes our outside, not the other way around. If it does, you're not in control. You dig? And that's, to me, is why I like just having that baseline, just that music. Because I tell people in psychology, there's always going to be a voice in your head. You just need to make sure it's your voice. You feel me? And sometimes we just need that baseline because we need to be rapping, singing, releasing, preaching. You know what I mean? It needs to be our voice in our head saying, look, I'm gonna do this, I'm not gonna do that no more, I ate this, it gave me cramps the next day. You feel me? Like, we need to constantly be talking to ourselves, and it doesn't have to be progressive, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm gonna do, but it needs to be that voice. We need to get used to hearing ourselves. And a lot of people are listening to the dietitian or the life coach or their preacher or their parents. But where is your voice in all of that? And they could be giving you helpful information. That's not the case that, you know what I mean, I'm trying to make. But where is your voice in all of that? Where are you excited when you talk about this? Or are you talking about somebody else's dream?
I totally agree with that, because it's again, where, and it's kind of extreme, but it made sense. Somebody was like, I should never want something more than you. Like, at the end of the day, like, if the person that wanted it for you died, then who else is going to want it for you?
Exactly.
So you have to, like Tim said, it's great to get information and advice, but I was getting all this information, taking all these notes. I had notes and shit, but still couldn't lose a damn pound. In the gym 3 days a week for an hour and a half with my brother-in-law. This is when I lived in Florida. Hour and a half, 3 days a week from 4:30. I was meeting him at 4:30 in the morning. Insane.
That's bodybuilder life.
Damn pound.
Wow.
And it was because, again, that was his race. That was for somebody else. Those strenuous things he had me doing, you know, yeah, it taught me something about equipment at the gym, and then I could push myself. But the goal that I was trying to reach, he could not help me get there.
Mm-hmm.
It took for my ex-husband getting sick for me to make a life change. And once he got sick, actually got sick a couple times, but I'm the one feeding everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm healthy. Why do I think I'm healthy? Because I made it to a point in this world that taught me that if you have this and that and the other, you're straight, you're Gucci. Just like church. If you could be as fucked up as you want to be, but if you take your ass to church every Sunday and you pay tithes,
you good. You getting in.
You say, baby, come on through. You good. We don't care you smoke that cigarette. We don't care you smoke that weed. We don't care you drink a little bit. We don't care you cuss a little bit. We just want you here because you're paying to keep the lights on, damn it. So get your ass in the seat and position. So anyway, I had this mentality that I was healthy without having much knowledge. Yes, I was cooking a lot at home. We did eat a lot at home, but I just didn't know what I didn't know as far as butters, as far as oils, flours. So I think the first thing we started doing was there was this guy who came to our church. And I forget this guy's name. He's from Texas, but he was really big on the vegan.
Okay.
He educated us about the chickens, what they do to the chickens and the cows and the milk. So I started changing out milk and butters for the non-dairy ones. That was like the first switch. And then Tyreek went vegan his high school year. He was an athlete. So it's like, I have to learn how to, I'm, you know, mama mode. I'm worried about my son being out here passing out on the side of the track. So I had to learn how to cook things that he would enjoy to eat. Then my ex-husband got sick. And so that it was the food. I knew it was all the food. I got hit to Dr. Sabi and some other people that was, you know, posting and in the documentaries. And I just started experimenting. And being in Florida, it was easy to grow certain things. And there was a lot of vegan people there, people that was not into meat or meat all the time. So that was an encouragement to,
okay.
And then I got to the point, I got real confident that I started selling my food at the farmer's market every Saturday. And when I was sell out, it was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I didn't fed this whole community of people. All these people, and I made some money off of it. Like, it's just kind of dope. Like, I had, and I was saying, you know, we speak, y'all got to pay attention, because, like, again, y'all are speaking your existence every day. You are making, you're creating your life. You're writing your book every day by the things you say. And I used to say there was four main restaurants that was vegan in Tallahassee, and one of them was really, really good, but they were all overpriced for the things that they had. And one by one, the two black ones closed down, and it was just the two other ones that was still open. And I said, I mean, I can make better food than this. Both of the places then closed down, and this too. One day somebody hit me up from the farmer's market and said, you know, our buddy who was making food ain't here. Do you think you can make something and come up here? And I was like, what? He was like, it's a free table. You get a tent. And I was like, okay, sure. And next thing you know, it was a hit every side. I just kept doing it. Then I was asked to do other places. So food, I seen personally how food has brought people together. And we think about food at the moment we wake up. We like, damn, what are we going to cook for dinner? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for breakfast? We have to pay attention that food is for real.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the food we eat is real or not, that's another thing. But food is real when it comes to spiritual work, when it comes to soul work, whatever you want to call it, working on the inner parts of the being more so than just weight and how we take care of our organs and how mm-hmm. we push get our blood to flow. Food is essential. Mm-hmm. On every level. And so it would behoove us to start reading labels and understanding how food is really supposed to help us grow. And food is supposed to help you reverse. People be like, you ain't Asian. Yeah, it's because I'm serious about what I eat. And I'm not saying serious, like I don't have weak moments and have weak times where I give in mm-hmm. and eat what's there, because your mind, even though you'd be like, oh, I ain't really hungry or I don't really need to eat this, is not really no nutritional food. It's levels to this shit. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. your mind got to be fed. Like, your mind got to think you're not hungry no more, even though you're telling yourself you're not. Make exactly. me a believer then. Give me something.
Nah, that's 100%. And even once you get through that threshold of actually knowing what you're eating, there's a whole nother side to it then, because then we got to account for the fact that energies and everything, you know what I mean? And this is something that my elders, when I was younger, was teaching me. And it's just how I am with everything in life. Like, I pay attention when I'm doing something with another person, their energy and the energy they're putting into what they're doing. Because sometimes you're, like we were saying, you're eating healthy food, but the person who's preparing it got bad energy. And that's going to affect the meal as well. Then it doesn't matter what you're putting into you, because what you're allowing to come inside, you dig in. And so many times we allow people to put their energy on us through conversations, through accusations, through a lot, through lots of little scenarios we just blow off or think is small, but nah, that's chipping away. You know what I mean? So I've always been mindful, like, of who's preparing the food. And we look at it in a literal sense of, like, man, this person might poison me. They upset with me. But, yeah, that they are poisoning you, dog. Like, them putting that bad energy or whatever they said over that food before they put that plate in front, I'm cool. I'll starve. I drink some water. I'm cool. And I've always been that way because I take heat. I see how easy it is for energy to transfer between the things we do. And food is used as nourishment, it's used as a gift, it's used as a suppressor, it's used in so many ways. So all of that energy and all these hands that's touching it, just how they say you don't know how many hands touch your money, like we just take all of these things not even worrying about where it came from.
For sure. And one of the conversations I had today with my buddy when we were walking was, don't y'all ever pay attention to the chef?
Like, what's the chef look like? Chef. Yes.
I'm like, especially this person that cooks all the time, what do their body look like? Do they look like they don't get no sleep? Do they look like their body is unhealthy? Because mind you, there are, regardless of what your weight is, it's what you feel on the inside.
Right.
Okay. Somebody can be 250 and feel great. Like they don't have no aches. They don't have no problem with getting that 250 around. Hey, let them be 250. They're comfortable. They're great. You're going to know. You're going to know when you're unhealthy on the inside. You're going to be able to feel it. And it's going to keep you out of tune with yourself. So I always look at it like this. I think Kevin Samuel said this, something like that, like as far as like the body weight and matching up with your partners and stuff
Yeah.
But like I said, I used to be 270, but I ain't no more. But I'm also a birth worker, so I have to be able to hold my weight and be able to hold another person's weight and their baby's weight, which is why I try to stay, you know, I do my best to stay active and fit. But when it comes to a partner, you know, it's like, I want to, if you was in that fire, like Kevin Simmons said, I want to be able to pull you out.
Right.
Now, if you 400 pounds, I might have a problem with pulling you out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
And vice versa, sis. Yeah. He might be saying, hey, I made it, he might be 250. You know what I'm saying? But holding his weight and pulling you, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not to offend anybody or make anybody feel a certain way, but again, I'm not in your skin. I once was in a heavier weight skin. I know what that felt like for me. So when I see people that struggle with their breathing or, you know, eczema or shit, pretty much anything, I'm always like, it's the food.
Yeah.
And if it ain't directly what's on your plate, it's what you've been, it's one of the other senses, the other gates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that something is entering in and afflicting and affecting you to where the point you ain't even gotten just no peace within the body. It's one thing to be like, damn, ain't no peace in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I ain't got no peace when the kids is acting, you know, or, you know, certain things that bring you peace. But it's when you ain't got peace within your body. Come on. That's no way to live.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the food should always be the one people tackle first. And the reason I say that is because I feel like getting what you eat under control is going to be one of the hardest battles you've ever had to fight. So if you knock out the boss first, you good. You know what I mean? Everything else is going to seem small in comparison. But you getting control over that food, it's going to have to change because it too always isn't just what you eat. It's when you eat. It's how often you eat, how little you eat. Is do you notice yourself using a bathroom? How frequently you go? How frequently you don't go?
Especially
all of those things are tied into what you eat and what you're not eating. You dig what I'm saying? So being mindful of that. And, you know, you hear a lot of things in your 20s. I've just heard a lot of misconceptions that people think about food and nutrition and using a bathroom. And you should be using a bathroom daily. Daily. because that's showing you that everything's working and functioning inside like it should be. If you're eating daily, you should be using the bathroom daily.
And you should be able to see it consistent. You should be able to see like certain things don't break down, like corn, beans, the skin. So you're eating certain things. You should be able to look at your own poo. I mean, you got to look at my poo. But you might want to investigate your own stuff. And even you know, smells and stuff. Certain foods will come through or certain other things will come through. So it's like all of these things, the lifestyle that has been created, this fast food lifestyle. Because when I say fast food, I don't only mean the restaurant fast food. I mean also like, you know, gaming now is a thing. So when you're in a gaming mindset, you need food that's going to be quick because you still got to eat. But while you're gaming, people, they don't be going to pee. They don't be going to poop. Right. Their body operates in a different way because they're sitting still. They're not moving in a certain way. So they're not helping the body digest. So even if you're going to be a gamer, you're going to be not even just gaming, but desk jobs, you know, and get people because they got you tied to the desk so you don't get up or like school teachers, too. Because you're getting, depending on the grade or for preschool, like that's a restriction in itself. So being mindful, like Tim said, you're right on the money when you start with the food first, because the food is there. Remember, we said food is medicine. It's there to open up the body to all of these other things, to all of these other ideals that you need to help you have the best life you're supposed to have on this earth. Right, you're eating crappy and you're trying to change your thoughts, it ain't gonna happen. You're gonna keep thinking shitty ways because of the food you're eating or the music. It's gonna tie into something else. But once you impact the food and all around, not just what you're eating, but also when it comes to understanding, like certain foods bring you more water. Certain foods is, especially for men, or well, women too, but for men, like y'all dealing with a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Sexual dysfunctions, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they call it, or erectile dysfunctions.
And I think that's being compiled too on the fact that we're not culturing ourselves. It's so strange. We have access to more information than people ever have in history, and we don't use it. Like, something else that's going to help you on this food journey is trying other cultures' food. A lot of these cultures don't have these diseases and shit we have because of what they're eating.
Right.
The food is already preventing this, or it's strengthening up their immune system. It's strengthening up their reproductive system.
It's strengthening up... know why y'all got a blockage, like then y'all make it so common. So one of the things, and this is kind of on the same subject, but one of the things I mentioned in my media class to was mostly men, and they're all ages like 18, 21, 31, 26, 40 something, all the way up to like 65, and it's like 10 of them in there. We talk about the prostate. And I want to say out of 10, maybe one of the men knew the purpose of the prostate.
I'm still here.
No, you good. So we got going men and women both got organs in our body that don't even understand their function or how they work, let alone who's going to benefit that organ. So...
and then we wonder why we misuse them.
Yes, exactly. Somebody say one more. What is that? Is that a comment? Uh-oh. Grow up and check your poop. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. She said, grow up and check your poop. This is very true. Yeah, for sure.
These need to be healthy practices, too, for relationships. I think these things become so taboo individually. We're not even doing it for each other.
Who has the energy to be holding gas around her? Man, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. Once you start eating right, you don't even fart like that no more. You don't fart the same.
Unless you're eating something you ain't supposed to.
then your body gonna know. But like, yeah, so that's a whole nother thing. Like when I use the bathroom, I use the bathroom. And let me tell you, I go regularly multiple times where I use the bathroom and everything, but throughout the day, I feel like my system is good. If I'm only going once a day, then it's like, yo, something is, what did I not eat? I need to eat some more or something, because I'm comfortable with two or more. And so from a personal body, but we supposed to be just like babies. Like we just bigger. Yeah. But after the babies eat, you know, 30, 40 minutes, whatever they ate then came out. And so a lot of us is just holding there. They said like an average person got anywhere between 3 to 6 months of waste in their digestive system.
Wow.
Why do you think that is?
Not fasting, your body's never getting a break. And then all that food, and if we can call it food still, all of that junk is just stuck. It becomes like a fist. Right. When everything in your body should be flowing like water. It's
like a trash can, like the dump down in Frank Road.
Yeah, and you can smell it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know when it's around. And that's who we become. That's the thing.
And this is no disrespect to nobody. We're just painting the picture that we cover up. We're so easy with covering up the fact that we will put something in our mouth. We'll put something in our mouth and eat it and don't even expect it to come out.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy? Not even know where it went.
Or we put something in our mouth, not even expecting to get something nutritious from it, get something whole from it. Like these foods are really impacting your life. Like they are really, once you start understanding, like I said, it's deeper than what I can explain, because for me, I'm still every day I understand something more about food. You know, whether it's a new food I didn't try, like the international markets are really good to go to. They speak different languages. Yes, they operate. That's their culture, but they have more of the things that are whole grown.
Yeah, fresh, not the preservatives or the shelf life. It's today.
Exactly. Yeah, that shit will mold in a minute because it's real. The other stuff is more like McDonald's, where it's like whatever they're injecting or putting in some of these fruits and vegetables, it's causing them not to rot. And there's documentaries on all this. Y'all got Netflix and Hulu. Like at the end of the day, if y'all real serious about the food and what's been happening that you haven't been awake to when it comes to if you're a meat eater, where your meat is 9 times coming from. And I said this, Tim, on one of my podcasts that I uploaded on my other show, or I think I did on Wally's World podcast, but I said about when I was in Haiti, there was so many chickens. So I ate some chicken when I was in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. I tore that chicken up. But let me tell you why I ate it. Because I seen them.
Yeah.
I seen these chickens running free and wild. Like they knew where to go. But when it was their time to go, honey, listen, we got to feed the people too.
They out here getting tender.
Man, listen, where do you see chickens here?
Nowhere.
But if I wanted, for me and you and whoever on this live, if I wanted everybody to have a chicken breast or a chicken leg, I can go get one right now for all of us.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that in Haiti. What they had available was what was available. You understand? Like, if it was only two legs left, it's two legs. There's no store to go to get some more chickens, even though there's chickens everywhere. But here in America, I can go to any grocery store in any city, in any fucking state, and I can get us all some chickens, even though we don't see them. You know where the fuck they coming from.
And this is why I think this is the epitome of why every journey has to start with the food. Because even when we talk about things like sickness, we talk about things like depression, and it's easy to want to just blame the food too. You know what I mean? Without looking at the psychology behind what we're doing. And we're sitting here on social media and we're sitting here in our lives saying, oh, I hate poison. I hate liars. I hate cheaters. But you lying and cheating yourself. You poisoning yourself. You dig what I'm saying? So you're sick because you're trying to, you're living, you're being somebody you're not. You're claiming you hate these things that you willfully do to yourself every single day.
Right. And I guess too, I want your viewers to understand that the cry in our plea to give you this information is that it's senseless abuse to yourself and ultimately can end in death. And it's like, yeah, you hear people so carelessly say, oh, we're going to die from anything. We're going to die from something. You're absolutely right. That's a true statement. But again, peace on earth, right? Starts within yourself. So the peace that we don't see in our neighborhoods, in our communities, on our jobs, with our children, is because we don't have it within the self. And so with the foods, you can combat that. Like now, so now we got more soldiers the within the community because of how you eat. That simple change stops the killings that we didn't see in the Easton or this other girl. Like it prevents these things from happening long on. And it starts with the food because it's controlling us in a way that we don't see it. It's not just making you gluttonous. It's not just, you know,
it's altering your spirit. And if we're spiritual beings, we need to become spiritual warriors. And everything around us is energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. So what we even consider as death, if you go into that process suffering, you're going to transfer that energy to wherever you're going. If you go through that process at peace, you done left everything on earth. I ain't got nothing to hold back. I have no regrets. You know what I mean? I don't got to apologize to 10 motherfuckers. I can just go. I can transition. That's going to carry as well. You know what I mean? So everything we're doing now, because look, we're creatures of habit. So we have to build healthy habits. And it's never been important till now. So now we have all these years of bad habits because, you know, this tragedy happened, that tragedy happened, this. And now we live in a tragedy state. We live when a tragedy can happen any day. You dig what I'm saying? Something could go down any day at this point in the world. So many people. So now we have to start wanting better for ourselves or nothing's going to change. I was in that state when I got out of hoop. I knew the exercises to do. I knew the stretches to do. I knew the gym to do, but I didn't want it. So no matter how much I went in there, I wasn't seeing any change, any results. The moment when I stopped caring about the results, the moment when I stopped trying to get it and I just became someone who, you know what? I'm doing this because I want to feel better. Not for the abs, not for the calves and the thighs. I just want to feel better. And I know when I was going through this process, I felt good. I didn't cramp a lot. You know what I mean? I was able to sleep fully through the night. So we go through those situations. So now we know what to do. And then it's being in our higher self is doing it without a reward, without someone having to remind us, without life having to scare us into doing it. You know what I mean? We want to do it because we know it's good for us. And to me, that's the ultimate love. You're not looking for an excuse to love yourself. You did it because you love yourself. Dang. You know what I mean? I'm not buying myself stuff and getting myself a good body and getting my body done to love myself. You got to start loving yourself first. You got to start loving you when you ain't shit, when you overweight. You know what I mean? When you bad with money.
Right. And that's exactly where I feel like my mental went, where when I started to lose weight. And it was so crazy, the things that people say to you when you're skinny versus when you're big, or even when you're losing or you're gone from one. But when I started losing weight, I remember someone saying, well, you ain't gonna give your husband nothing to hold on to.
It was like, the hell?
Yeah. And it was multiple people having a commentary over me losing weight so fast. And so, yeah, it's crazy
Wow.
how how we support or how we see things, you know, because of what that other person is going on within their own body. It's all
Yeah.
about what you feel, like you projecting. They basically was projecting what they was feeling about their own weight on me.
Exactly.
And that's what we'll do. And that way, that will you'll do that in a lot of ways. So some people may project it on their children if their children are smaller than what they are. Or vice versa, if the, you know, children is bigger, you know, it might be some projection there.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. I used to be a chronic stress eater when I was a kid.
Oh,
Oh, that was my go-to. Because really, me naturally, especially when I was a kid, I just drank a lot of fluids. Had my fruit. I always had, because I was always on the go, always in sports. You know what I mean? And as I started to grow up, I got out of the sports. I was getting, like you were saying, I was getting more into video games. You know, you hanging around eating whatever, you up till 5 in the morning. That starts to weigh on you, even as a kid. So you see all different shapes and sizes in the world. Usually your friends are different shapes and sizes. You know what I mean? So you're constantly learning a lot about yourself. I've never had an issue with someone being quote unquote overweight, or because I asked them, do you consider yourself overweight? You know what I mean? And then I asked them, do you consider yourself having insecurities as far as the weight? Because if you do, then you see it as an issue. Sometimes too, people project the world is judging you for what size you are, and it's no, that's how you feel. It doesn't make a difference to me what size you are. That's not, I don't got to deal with that when I go to the bathroom. That's your prerogative. I just want you to be your best self. And your best self, you should be proud of who you are. If you gotta lie or cheat or go a backhanded way or around what you're saying, you're not happy with it. Let's call a spade a spade. You know what I mean? So for me, that's when I became empowered to just do something about it. And what I did about it wasn't go on a diet and start losing weight. It was start accepting how I looked and who I am. Because if I can't accept myself like this, I don't deserve myself being healthy, being better, and just loving that version of myself. I need to love every version of myself, or it ain't gonna hit.
Yeah, that's what happened with for me. Like I had I think I had finally started I started looking at myself, and this is I suggest everybody do this. Listen, everybody talk about mirror tests and that and the other. I did this experiment where I sat in front of the mirror naked. And I just talked about myself, talked to myself about myself, what I liked, what I didn't like, what I was gonna, what I felt like I can change naturally, and what I appreciated. Like I just went over every part of my body. But that did something heavy in me when it came to losing weight because I just, I don't know, like I wanted a fast, like I wanted a pill, like I wanted it to be gone so bad, and I couldn't figure out how it got to that way, like how I like did I felt sloppy, like lazy shit. And I just didn't feel like myself ultimately. Like I was wearing a lot of weave, and like it was just things, it was just not overly doing my makeup, and I just wasn't happy with what I had seen in the mirror. And so I think there was appreciation for who I was, but it was certain things that didn't make me happy. And I knew that I could change it naturally. Like I knew I didn't need a pill. I knew I didn't need to really stress myself. Like I heard so much information from people who had done it. It was like, okay. And plus I had done it once. Like I had lost like about, I got from, it was like one. Remember I told you when I gained that one whatever, I had gone from like 1 to like 130 or something like that before my weight. So I knew I can do it. Like I was like, okay, so I can lose like 30 pounds. Like that's possible. And so at this point, I was like 230. I was trying to get under 200 pounds. I was like, I can do this. But I just started compiling everything I had knew that worked for me and that was good. Like, okay, drinking more water, no brainer. Drink as much water as I can, and teas and stuff like that. that's something I can do. Okay. I know the breads aren't good. Ooh. And then I was like, well, I remember I read something about all white substance, white flour, white bread, white rice, white potatoes, even white sugar. They're not good for the body. They've been bleached, right? So it sticks and it holds onto your body in a certain way. It's just not good for the body. And eliminating those, it was like, oh, the weight just naturally started just coming off. I started feeling better to do more research and more things within my body. So then I gave up meat for a little bit. But I go back and forth. Like, I eat fish here and there, but I don't really bring meat in the house. Mm-hmm. But that's helped me. That's me, though, right? I know people that can eat meat and they can stay within their goal. But for me, it was like, okay, it actually helped me feel better. And we talk about the spiritual side of things. It do, like, awaken me on a whole nother level. So get in tune with yourself by how you eat is definitely, that was good that you said that.
Yeah. 100%. And it starts to show you different ways that you can view yourself, that you can look at yourself. When I was starting my first nutritional health journey, and what's been best for me was pescatarian. I've tried everything. I've done vegan, vegetarian, everything. They make up a new thing. I'll try that shit too. But I love pescatarian the most. And honestly, I've gotten to a point where, like you said, like I go with the flow. Like, I know what I'm eating. I know what I'm putting in my body. I had to get to a point of trust. And I think the point of veganism, pescatarianism, is to keep you in line, in the guideline. So if you fall off, you know where to go back to. But I feel like the point of your journey is to just be natural. You trust yourself for what you're eating. You don't have to go in the guideline. You know you're going to do the research. You know you're going to look it up. And that became my purpose. So I started to be able to educate myself through eating. Food wasn't just entertainment anymore. Food wasn't just pleasantries. Food wasn't just, oh, I'm sad, let me go get the pint of ice cream. Now you can study the food. You can get to know the food. And then it starts to reward you. That's when I started finding out what my range was for my happy weight. My weight when I'm my best self. I can get up in the morning, I can run, I can lift, I can do everything I need to do. Like you said, if I need strength, I got my strength right now. I can fast during this time, you know what I mean? And I started to associate that happy weight with the healthy weight. Mm-hmm. And when we're younger, they tell you that pregnancy time, that's your happy weight. Oh, you eating a lot, you must have just got a new job, you got a baby on the way, but we're eating unhealthy. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you got to be asking yourself, am I really happy with how I feel with these aches, with these cramps? You know what I mean? Because we don't know any better. You don't know any better. But as soon as you learn, it's a responsibility. When I was a kid, I didn't know cramps wasn't supposed to happen. You know what I mean? I'm always wanting to learn. So I was actually in a doctor's checkup for one of the kids and I was fucked up that morning. So I just asked us. It wasn't for me. I'm like, what do you do for cramps? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, some mornings I wake up and my stomach's a knot. Like, she's like, I don't have cramps. Like, even during her cycles and shit. You know what I mean? And I'm like, huh? And she's like, yeah, you're probably eating too late. And that food is not digested. It's just sitting on your stomach. So first thing when you wake up is trying to hurry up and digest it. She was like, pay attention to what time you eat and how late you eat. So I was like, all right, probably like 22 at the time. I'm like, all right, cool. So just that little subtle thing, I started noticing a difference throughout the day, not even just in the mornings, the whole day I felt better. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, she might be on to something, doing it with the kids. They feel better. They're sleeping through the night. They're getting up in the morning. It's not a fight. It's not a struggle. Yeah. It all started with the food, that relationship with the food. So you can spend your whole life saying you didn't know any better, or you can go out there and get that information. People know. You just got to ask.
Right. And people, and you see people who are lit, like people be like, oh, you're always so happy, or you're always, or your skin looks like this, and oh, you never wear makeup. Like, people compliment me on how the food loves on me, you know, like how the food is restoring my youth. Like, people always be like, you're 26. I'm like, no, I'm about to be 41. But thank you for saying that. I do appreciate it because I've been 26 for a long time.
Got to retire that one.
And it's the food. It is, I give, I give it to, it is, yes, it's a little on what I do, because also like the next step, like you said, after the food, there's other things you got to work on. Like now, like you're driving in your car, how much do you allow these people that are on their path and their journey to affect you? How does that affect the inside of your body? Do you get heightened? Do you like cuss the motherfucker out? Do you, you know, just be like, oh, okay, well, you know, me, I'm always like, okay, guy, let's go. Like, I'm always trying to be so chill because I know if I take it there, what that does to the inside of my body. I felt that shit and I don't like the way it feels. I don't like my back hurting or feeling like I'm two steps away from having to end someone in this situation in a horrible way. Like, I don't like to carry around that type of energy. Like, I know it's going to be a time and place for it, but I don't like to have disturbance. Whether it's with the person or, well, it's mainly with people. Obviously, within myself, mm-hmm. I have more disturbances with self. But with someone else, I don't like that.
But I get that from you. You know what I mean? I would say the same thing about me, and it helps me go the places I go. You know what I mean? It helps you go into that hole in the wall knowing I'm going to be straight when I leave here. Because right. I don't attract problems. I don't attract chaos, so I'm good. They got good food. They got good people. I'm going to shoot some pool. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go home. I don't look at this as a dangerous area. I don't look at this as something could go left. Shit, I lock my doors in the suburbs. You hear what I'm saying? I'm looking both ways out there when I cross the street. Like, that's me being worried. When I'm amongst my people and I know we having a good time, that was why I wanted to get into the entertainment industry. We talk about that a lot on this show. There's something there. There's something there that helps us. We just can't be all entertainment. We can't be all play and joke. We got to take something serious. So if you're going to take anything serious, it might as well be your health. Might as well be what you're putting in your body.
Right, because health is wealth. Because what do we say? What is the point of you being a multimillionaire if you can't even enjoy it? You're not even around to enjoy it because of other things that may be going on with you within your body. Mm-hmm. So you had said something and I was going to say... Oh, you talked about the cramps and how doctor had gave you that one thing that changed your whole mental up, and that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And so before then, I was gonna ask you, was before that, were you having that, or that's just because you was outgrown on your own kind of?
Well, that was around the time when, so I got into hoop late middle school, and then basketball was my life. And then when I got hurt, this is around 22, 23, when I stopped hooping, had the kids now, messed up my knee. So my whole life had changed. You know what I mean? I had to find a life without hoop and without having those remedies and without just naturally feeling better. You don't know why you're feeling better, because it's because you get up at 6 a.m. and you run and you don't eat till 11. And it's your lifestyle. But I never associated the two. When you're a kid, you're just living. You're not questioning why this good fortune is happening. You just taking advantage of it. You know what I mean? So I was forced to have to look at it a new way. And up until that point, I never asked my own doctors these questions. So for me, the two worst things I'm going to experience is a toothache and stomach pain. Like, that will fold me up like a baby. You hear me? So them cramps was tearing me up. So one day I just had enough. I was like, I'm not about to live like this. This is crazy. This is madness. Like, I'm not about to live like this. So I had to get to the bottom of it, but I had to go through it enough. I had to be done with it, because it wasn't done with me, because it was also teaching me how I was living at the time. It was showing me how careless I was with what I put in my body. It's showing me the type of company I kept, because this is what they ate. This is what they had to eat at their houses when I went over. All of these things were domino effects. It wasn't just my choice of what I was going to eat. It was everything around me. It was the commercials. It was the streets I chose to drive that had all the fast food. It was everything. But that one moment crippled me enough. It hurt me enough that I had to sit in it and think. I couldn't just go eat. You couldn't just go move. You had to sit. You can't do nothing when you like that. You know what I mean? When you sick from eating, when you sick from drinking, you don't want to drink right now. You want to eat. You don't want to do nothing. Porky wants to die. You just try to hold on. You know what I mean? So that's when I really focus. That's when I really meditate and lock in those moments when you cling into life. I need to learn from this or I'm going to get right back here again. I'm going to be here next week. I'm going to be here when I lose my job. I'm going to be here when she break up with me. It's going to be one thing to tip you over. So if I learn how not to get here, you know what I mean? From why I got here, from those habits, from being careless, from not even thinking about reading the labels, not even watching lectures on food, but you watch videos, you on your phone, but it's not about things that can affect your life. So I had to question everything I was doing, not just what I was eating. Who are you? What are you thinking? Why would somebody, you claim you want to get married? Why would somebody want you? You claim you want more kids. Why would somebody want to procreate with you? And you got to be that hard on your fucking self to make change. When you be nice with yourself, you're going to stay the same. But when you really get into your ass, like, who would want this? You don't want this.
Right, because like that was the wake up call when I said, like, when my ex-husband got sick, I was like, well, shit, I've been the one feeding everybody. I'm the one that has been going to the grocery store. So I had to unlearn what I thought was healthy. You understand? Like I was all over the place with that. And then when I looked at when I did for me finally step on the scale and see, like, okay, yeah, you've been having children back to back, but you heavy. You big. And for me, big, my feet would feel like sometimes they was gonna bust. My skin would feel like it was gonna bust open. Like I would pour water and rub my feet down with Vaseline because they just was, hurt. And mm-hmm. I see people all the time that's in pain. So I think for me, my spirit, she funny, yo. She got a mind of her own. And she didn't say some stuff to people before. Like I was around this lady one time. I was at this conference. I duck off to go hit this joint in the corner. You know, it's all the way out in the middle, like this little passage where I'm away from the main people. And I see her walking through and she's struggling to walk just from here to there. She's struggling. Sis is big and she's struggling. And I start talking, I say, you good? She said, yeah, I'm okay. I just gotta catch my breath. And I say, okay. And I said, well, my spirit said this shit I did. And she said, you know, I used to be 270. And she just looked at me. And I said, so if you need anything, let me know. She said, okay. And she got to walking. And my spirit be wanting to help people that they're struggling.
Yeah, but you know, pride come with the struggle. I know,
like, and people look at me now and they look at my body and they be like, oh, well, you carry it well, or you this is that and the other. And yeah, but I know what it's like. Like I was big for some time. And it wasn't my life. It was probably like a good 7 or 8 years.
You gotta think too, our egos got bruised with it because we got desensitized to it in church. That was common in church.
Oh yeah.
And it was that same, oh, you know, go help such and such. And they pride. Like, I got it. It don't look like you got it. I'm trying to help you now. It looked like it hurt when you walk. I'm trying to help.
Pain, but you're right, because it's in the church, it's the cover up of the religion. They use the religion to cover up the pain that you're going through. They subside it to say, any sickness and disease you're going through, God can overcome and he can heal you. No, you can heal you right now. Y'all suffering from shit that y'all don't even have to suffer from. I think that's what irks me the most as far as frustration with this, is that it's things that you don't have to suffer from. Eczema, get rid of all dairy, period. Get rid of the dairy. Eczema will heal within the body. It's an inflammation within the body and a reaction from something that's going in or something that's on top of. But I've seen children scratch their whole face off, like the skin open or their arms, the skin just open. And here you, the parent, only thing you got to do is remove dairy from their diet, period. And probably like colored juices. I'm hearing red juices. The Kool-Aid juice, none of that.
Die.
The dye. There you go. Dye. Help me out. Yes. Keep me honest. The dye. Remove those. The eczema will heal within itself. It's not an end all be all. Like, I had eczema after my first pregnancy, and I believe I got it from the epidural. I think that was a side effect of that. Okay. And I had it for a couple years around my nose and my mouth here and my elbows. But it was the dairy. Once I got rid of dairy, I have not had, I used to have dark. And this is only after, it's probably like a couple years after Tyreek was born. And then when I got pregnant with Layla and Kyla, because I still was doing dairy. But it was only during the pregnancies, and they call it a pregnancy mask. It's like a name for it, but I had it in other places that wasn't just the mask. They say it's like your face. If your face was spit down the middle, the eczema would show up on both sides as like a type of thing, which it did in both pregnancies. But again, I still was doing dairy. And then the last two pregnancies that I wasn't doing dairy, I did not have the mask or any eczema type of thing. So I know it's fully attached to just how I was eating and stress levels too, because it's an inflammation, and the steroids does nothing. But this is, and the steroids they use is a belief system. They believe that if they put steroids on something that you're dealing with, it'll freeze it in place, so it won't continue to do whatever it was doing.
Right.
Not to say it's going to cure the eczema or any other thing that people put steroids on.
Slows it down, basically.
Right. It's just to put a pause in it. It's like, okay, pause.
Yeah.
Only push the play button.
Which then goes to, it goes to now show how many things we have to unlearn and relearn. Because I learned that about lactose. Being lactose is actually normal. Yeah. Not being able to drink milk is not normal. I was like, oh, so you got to flip it.
Ain't that crazy?
my daughter's lactose. So, that's when I really started my 8-year-old. That's when I really started learning about it. And then I was like, I had to stop myself from trying to push dairy on her because it was a part of my lifestyle at the time. You know what I mean? So a lot of times that's why this health is so important, because it affects other people's lives. Like you directly said, I'm preparing the food. I got to be mindful of these kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't be killing the people, you know what I'm saying, that I'm serving, basically. Mm-hmm. I can't be calling myself a wife and a good mother. Meanwhile, I got people underneath my guard, my view, and they're getting sick underneath me. Now, once I change that, my children don't get no common colds. I personally, and I'm thankful for this, I personally haven't been sick since 2017. Hey. And well, I take that back. So in October, I did get sick in October. And I don't know, it might have been a case of the flu, because I was in Florida. And I spent a day and a half on the front lawn of the house. I was just outside. And I had some tea my friend made for me, one of the midwives there. So I did get sick. But other than that, that was the only time I was sick since 2017.
That's still amazing.
Yeah, I'm not. And I think
now your body done adapted to that. So you good.
Yeah. So people be like, I don't want to cough around you because I don't want you to get what I'm going to. Don't get what you got.
Don't worry about that. You good.
Don't worry about that. I'm not even worried. Like, when people be sick, I'm like, I'm no longer worried. Like, I do my diligence of washing my hands when I go into people's houses. That's one new thing that becoming a doula has made me do. When I enter in, I do my best to wash my hands. But I'll be worried about, and not that I think I'm invincible or nothing like that, but again, food is medicine. So if there is something going on with me, guess what? There's something that naturally can help me fix it, because I didn't entertain something that I probably shouldn't have entertained.
Yeah. That's how, to me, it comes psychologically, because if the medicine, you're not dependent on it, now you can choose a healthier lifestyle. The point of these remedies, the point of Dr. Sabi, the point of the hospital is for life-saving, you know what I mean? Complications. It's for to get you back on track. This shouldn't be a weekly visit. That's what most good healers will tell you. I don't want you to have to see me frequently. I want you to be living a healthy lifestyle
Then let's say something happens to you, something goes wrong, and now you need this remedy. You know, we got it. But you're not using this every single day, every single time, because you know it works, because then you're abusing it. You're choosing to get sick, or you're choosing to get hurt because you've become attached to the remedy. You become attached to the medicine. Yep. The medicine there can be a daily thing. You know what I mean? Preventative. Like, that's also a medicine.
It's crazy. We don't see how, I mean, we can go on for this. I know we got to end at some point. I don't know how long you plan on going, but
end on this. You go ahead.
They have, I mean, right now, y'all getting paid to medicate your children.
Oof.
And yourself. And your doctor there's an incentive for you. There's a cash reward for you to buy into this thing. There's studies. There's all these, you know, so I've seen it, but it's on certain levels that people, they don't see how addicted they are. And for me, it's been being in the Uber, taking people. Like, one of my clients, we have a relationship out of that, but the only reason why she hired me is to take her to her doctor's appointments. And she's a healthy person. She's living. She's an elder. She's healthy. But again, we have this mentality that if I don't go to a doctor that's got a degree, that then study this white medicine, this Western, I'm sorry, not wet, not white medicine. I meant to say Western medicine.
Sorry. Same difference.
She be doing that shit, right?
Yeah.
Western medicine. If I don't get seen by them, then I'm not healthy. No, you should be in tune. Now, mind you, if something is needed, my son broke his arm over the summer. Yep, I took him to the doctors. Now that I see how to fix it, best believe if times came to where I know now, I'm like, oh, that's all y'all do? The fix it broke, I could have did that shit.
Same shit they did back in the day. It hasn't changed.
But you got a degree. And you didn't spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get a certificate to say you're approved to do what you can do. So many people believe in that shit. And you're your first doctor. Meaning that you can't tell them what's going on unless you can be in tune with what you're feeling. And you can't necessarily be in tune with what you're feeling until you quiet down some. And the food is sometimes loud noise, like white noise on the TV or noise in the phone, like people gossiping in your ear. Like, all of these things are noise, right? So when you can quiet down, then you can hear like, oh, well, what is that? Or, oh, wait, maybe, how did you sleep, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know how many people are on them CPAP things?
Too many.
And not to, again, this is not to offend anybody, but this shit is tied to the food. And one of my pregnancies, actually my heavy, when I was at my heaviest, I fell asleep in a chair like this, right? Cut my circulation off and woke up and threw up.
Damn.
Because it was, mind you, I got baby here. I got all of this here. I'm extra big. The stuff I had ate was full of acid, some fake ass juice, and fell asleep, cut air off. But when I went to go try to get some air, here I am. I'm to the point now where I'm throwing up. And I've had that happen more than once. And so when I look at people who use the CPAP machine, they stop breathing because everything is pushed up on stuff. Everything is blocking something. They can't even sleep peacefully. You know what I'm saying? So now y'all got certain people, it's not only affecting your blood with diabetes or your high blood pressure or low blood pressure, but now it's affecting the way you can even sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
To where they got to hook you up to a machine because they didn't did a study on you saying that you stopped breathing. I'm pretty sure a lot of us stop breathing here and there naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they could probably hook us all up and see that, you know, if I get into a deep groove, my spirit probably be like, hey, wake your ass up. Like,
we still on earth. Get up. Right,
Hey, you still here?
You sleep, sleep. Get up.
Right. I sleep, damn it. I know y'all back, hey, but so yeah, so again, they've convinced us that if they can diagnose us with something they already knew was going to be a problem, because all these foods and everything else that they're, all the studies from the gaming, from food, from car, everything that we participate in, they've already had a group study and see how it's going to affect the body.
Diabetes.
Right. They already tested this shit out. That's why they already got a cure. Like, you ain't come up with some shit and they like, oh, well, we don't never heard of bronchitis or.
Exactly. Never seen this one before.
You know, problems with work. You don't know that 99% of our that have this smoking cigarettes or around secondhand smoke. We don't know this or have a high intake of dairy. And it's clogging shit up and it's an inflammation. We don't know.
But it made it easy for them to sell having it and still living, not being cured, because your lifestyle is what got you here in the first place. So all I'm saying is, look, you don't got to change your lifestyle. Just come take this pill. You keep doing what you're doing. You know what? Let's forget about that little disease. Not knowing this disease is offsetting the other diseases, because your body has to function. Your body has to flow. So if you shut off one part of it, it's going to disrupt the whole process, not just that one area. Yeah, other things aren't working properly. So over time, they're working against you.
Right. The lady said it was like a, she said it was like a hose, like a water hose outside. And you know how, you know, you spraying, you then walked out a little bit further and, you know, you spraying, everything is great. And then you walk over this way, you like, damn, the water getting low. What's going on? Well, it's a knot. Mm-hmm. It's disrupting the flow of how it should be operating. For you to spray everything, for you to have the fullness. And I think that, like you said, too long we've been just lying. Mm-hmm. You have to stop lying to yourself. Like, because this whole, again, and that's why I said I don't want to offend nobody when I talk about weights and that and the other, because it's not necessarily the weight, but that the way people carry their weight, with men and women, it's attached to the pain and hurt on the inside. It's attached
absolutely
to something that you need to cleanse on the inside. And you can see it.
Absolutely.
You can definitely see it. Because when I go
to
back
me, to that is the stress eating. You're eating to feel better.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel better when you eat the right way. You're naturally going to start to feel better. That's living in that calm. If you got to try to react to feeling better, that means you're not okay. Something's wrong. And we got to get to the root of that now through the psychology, through the shadow work. But it all starts with the food. My favorite saying, my favorite affirmation is, what you feed will grow.
Mm. Yeah, I got that one piece in my poem. I feed my power daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it will grow. Feeding, mm-hmm. It will grow. That's universal.
So that's where the spelling now comes in. That's where the magic is. When we're talking about food, we're talking about nutrients, we're talking about feeding, we're talking about growing. It doesn't matter what capacity we're talking about it in. It's all going to directly relate to the food. That's where I feel like a lot of those terms came from. So when you're feeding that negativity, you're probably not going to be putting the best thing for you in your body. You know what I mean? When you're feeding into distractions, you probably ain't going to have the energy to juice your fruit, the energy to go till your garden, to plant the seeds. So you got to look at how you live your life. That's one of my favorite coaches told me, like, you play the game the way you live your life. He said, there's no way I think you're at home, you're not listening to your mom, you're not doing your chores, you're not paying attention to yourself and your healing, that you're going to come into the gym, you're not going to cut corners, cutting the line, you're going to help your teammates up, you're going to give everything you have. That type of person is going to be who you are out there, is who you're going to be in here. So if you're going to do anything, I feel like do 100% at it. And if you don't know, you have the choice not to do anything, just to be still, just to fast. Don't eat anything. See how you feel. You know what I mean? And then that next week, let's try those apples. You don't like that? All right, bet. Take you another fast. Let's go to the oranges. We got nothing but time. You dig? That's a lot of what the stress eating and the food is coming from.
Right. You can get more than one thing at a time to try. Like, you don't have to get like a whole bag of apples. You can buy one or two, or you can buy one of those oranges, or buy, you know, something and try. Like, one of the things we were doing at the house was we was buying an exotic fruit every week and trying something new. See how the kids introduce them to something, because those lychees or lychees or whatever, they're so good.
Yeah, the lychees, they are delicious. But you got to give context too. You've been doing this for years. A lot of them, this is going to be their first apple.
Right, for sure. Like, I remember when I was in elementary school, the nutritionist person would come, you know, always bring yogurt and some fruits. And it was everything that I never had at the house. And my mom always kept a lot of, but only certain times. It was only in the winter times. We always had apples and oranges and pears. Always in the house. So, but then the summer months, we didn't have no fruit in the house. It was the fruits that was outside in the trees. We picked those, the mulberries. We picked those. And yeah, that was pretty much it. But I was going to say this too. I pulled up the definition for food while you was talking. And it says, the definition for food is any nutritious substance that people or animals eat or drink, or that a plant absorbs in order to maintain life and growth. And then down here it says, other words for food, nourishment, substance, alignment. And that's something.
I'll say.
Like, alignment is a term for food.
Which makes sense. I feel like that's what derives the sayings, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry. And how we change. We become different. If you've ever been starving, a side of you is going to come out that don't typically come out. And they like calling the shots.
Especially talking about pregnancy, this is why it's, you know, you have to be mindful of how important food is for the growth of you and that child, because that's the last thing we need is a mama that has all this extra energy that's carrying a baby to be hangry.
Yeah.
And a hot summer day, like, or hot anywhere. Like, no, like, this is, no, we got to plan for this. So keeping, like, for me, because I drive a lot and through the city a lot, I always got fruits. You, Tim, you know, every time I come, I try to give you some fruit. I try to keep, and this is, if you got to make a stop. So y'all got to understand and think about time in a different way. Even if you stop in the store, the produce is always right there. The produce is always right there. And you don't always have to think mainstream grocery stores. These mom and pop grocery stores, they got fruit and vegetables inside of there.
I'll add too what I think is a big deficit in people trying new fruit, what I think is a big divider. And it's them speaking on it before they've experienced it. My favorite example of, like, people trying food is, like, there's a little kid and then there's an elder. You know how the elders just pop the food in your mouth and shit? Like, all right, what you think? But you got to try it first. They can't pull it out. You like, I heard about that and that's green. And that, like, people speak that they're not going to like this into things before they try it. Me, I don't talk about things before unless I've experienced it. So when I'm going to try something new, I just don't say shit. I just try it. You know what I mean? I just experience it. And then I think on how I feel. But I'm going to have to try it 2, 3, 4 more times to really know. Because things sometimes grow on me slow. You know what I mean? I got to really process. Because for me, it's a texture thing. Once I get over the texture, I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know what I mean? That thing for me was coconut water. It took me years because I already had this preconceived notion it was nasty, or all the jokes people tell about it. That's the first thing that came to the forefront, so I would just stay away. And when I stopped just thinking about it and just doing it, now that's, I drink that shit more than I drink anything else probably.
Yeah, it was coconut water for sure, because it wasn't until I got to Costa Rica that I had a coconut, you know, that was cracked open for me and had a different, it was a different taste. And so now I got them all the time. I haven't done the cans or those lately, but I'm wondering, when we were in Costa Rica and we couldn't get the whole ones, there was one brand that came in a plastic, like some old school juices or something. And she said this was kind of like how they do resale juices at like a farmer's market or something like that. It came like that. She said this is the only brand that she will buy a bottle because it's pure. It's not mixed down with nothing else. It's just the coconut, boom, juice out of it and keep going.
Yeah, that's how Vita Coca is.
Oh, yeah, because that's just... Viva the Coca or Viva, yeah, Viva the Coca.
Yeah, and they're the things you're talking about are biodegradable.
Yes,
the container, yep. But it's 100% coconut. Yeah, that's the only one I've found that's 100% coconut water. That's 100%. Like, and that once we overcome that area of just that food, we're going to be able to explore new areas of our life. Damn, what have I been planning to say? What did I already have my mind made up so I didn't experience this? That's why, again, we say start with the food, because it's going to awaken your mind in other areas. The food is not the end all be all. The food is the start to getting to know yourself better, the start to treating yourself better, to building the healthy relationship with yourself. And most of us have an unhealthy relationship with food. And this is where we get into healing and growing. It's not always your fault, but it is your responsibility. You dig what I'm saying? Church may have put it there. Slavery may have put it there. Your family put it there. They traveled a lot. That's fine. But here where you are at this point in your life, you have a choice. You can make it your responsibility not just to eat better, but be mindful of what you're putting into your body. That's the name of the game for me. I'm not going to tell people what to eat, what not to eat. Just be aware of what you're eating. Be aware of how it makes you feel. When you get sick, your first notion should be, damn, is it something I ate? So then you're growing that relationship bite by bite. You dig? It's not going to be an overnight thing. Like she said, we've put years on this thing. I'm still learning. I still don't feel like I know everything. Don't feel like I ever will, but I want to. I want to know as much as I can.
Right, for sure. And again, as it start where you're at. Like, there are plenty of documentaries out there. There's plenty of books that I didn't read. And it started with me, though. It started again with seeing something. I was trying to find some fruit. Seeing something and actually being able to say, okay, is this whole? You know, or like I made the chicken alignment. Like, I ain't saying you got to stop eating chicken, but I am saying that when I went to another country, I saw so many chickens running free. It made sense for them to sell chicken on the corner. And like I said, here, there is no way that we all can go in any store at any given day, at any given time. All the grocery stores, all the restaurants, all the fast food places, everybody got chicken. But you don't see chickens every day. Shit, it probably be, some people probably go years without seeing an actual real chicken.
That would be a lot of chickens.
It would be a lot. No, because mind you, I was in one part of the country, right? I traveled within the part of Haiti for about 2 hours on the road, which was probably would have been 30 minutes here because of there's no paved but in every state, man, every city, it has the same. You can get chickens. There's no shortage of chickens. Even though you can't go to those places and see live chickens.
Right.
So when I first made that, for the life of me, I said, man, why can't I unsee this? Why can't I unsee how they've been feeding us chickens? And where the fuck these chickens coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it so many of them? Anywho, yeah, I don't want to get wrapped up in that, but yeah, it's just
it's another episode.
The chickens, but yeah, on the food, Like I said, there's plenty of documentaries out there. Netflix is really good for the food documentaries. That's available. Dr. Sabi, they're still, he's all on YouTube and I'm pretty sure TikTok, SEBI, but his teachings was, you know, surrounded around how the food can heal you, how the food is our medicine.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people to follow, but like Tim said, this is your individual race. It's not a comparison to where I am today and what I can train my body to do. I had to learn that even with the water fast, because I was like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm doing this water fast, but oh, I needed a smoothie. I actually sucked on a watermelon, chewed it up and spit it out, but I needed something.
Yeah.
And so listen to your body and get the electrolytes. And that was another big thing, getting some of that Himalayan sea salt on the tongue and getting some electrolytes back into the body while doing these things. But there are all ways to heal the body from the inside out. We just got to tap in.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this has been educational to say the least. I love this video age because they can just go back and watch this. We don't got to repeat ourselves. It's lit on this side. So is there anything you want to leave the people with?
You didn't got me fired up because I already was telling you when I juices, I said, okay, listen, it's my oil has been in my house. Like I kept on saying, like, what else can I do to get out the car? Like, not that I don't mind to grind. I'll grind if I have to, but it prevents me from being as creative as I desire to be.
Oh, sure.
And with the food, I like to sit around and watch people eat my food. And on top of being healed on the end, you know, also, but it's like, I don't want to say a freaky fetish, but it's definitely a fulfillment and that I don't come across with a lot of other things. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, food is definitely going to be making its way back into the streets of Columbus very soon.
Oh, sure. Because your plates was amazing. Oh, I remember when you was cooking, yeah. And then knowing where the source comes from, you know what I mean? So that's things that we implore y'all to do. Y'all can start doing that today. You can start reading them labels. Have a conversation with the cook. Have a conversation with the chef. And mm-hmm. that doesn't mean if they are having a rough day cooking, run out the house. Go cheer them up. Go talk to them. Maybe they need somebody to listen to. Go sit in there with them. I always just sit with my grandma in the kitchen and watch her go. Because I could tell she just needed somebody in there. She wanted to turn around and see somebody. She wanted to know someone was listening. So there's so many ways we can be there for each other.
And this is what started this conversation is my post. Help them clean up. They've been on their feet for hours at a time preparing a delicious meal from you. So back into your people and help them restore. Because the faster that we can restore, the faster we can do that again, right? The easier it is for me to come back in there. Like when I come home to a clean kitchen, I cleaned up yesterday, last night, actually, after I got done making the juice, but they had dishes on the counter. I asked my son, I said, please put those away from me, because when I come home, I need to be able to see and just go in and start just cooking. I don't want to have to clean anything that takes more time and energy away from the meal. And then what you get with that may not be as better as you would get if had the dishes had been cleaned. Because now I'm rushing. Mm-hmm. Got to do double duty. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see back into your people and clean up. Yes, you have a fantastic day, too. Thank you.
I say yes. And I love that you added that tidbit, because it just goes to show how far mindfulness can go. It goes to show how we can strengthen our relationships by just coming in and straightening up. You don't got to be told. You don't got to ask. Just do it. You know what I mean? And I think that will help us recharge for us healers, us cookers, us preparer of the meals and nutrition, because we are vital. You know what I mean? I seen somewhere where they were saying on social media, teachers need to be paid and have days off and benefits like firefighters, doctors, and, you know, policemen, things of that nature, which I don't disagree. But I think teachers get so little because it's not about the reward for us.
It's about the student, and we need to stay focused on that. And sometimes with all of those things that come with the job you're doing, it can distract you from the actual job you're doing. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of times that's why we don't get that recognition, because we don't need it. Like, our recognition, our validation to be y'all taking this information and using it.
Right, but that's going to be another show, because I had wrote something down a while ago about how the teachers should be filtering in with these community jobs. Like, if the teachers get a break, who would be the most qualified to give?
I don't even know.
Community. Yeah. The people, community. So if a firefighter, like you said, gets breaks or certain pays or certain things like that, wouldn't the firefighters be able to come in and should be able to sit for an hour or two or have something that they, you know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. I see where you're going with that.
Y'all been certified, so yeah, it might be for another
conference. I like that. Yeah, I see where you're going with that, though. I definitely agree. The social workers, that will be considered social work.
Yeah, for sure. It should be a no-brainer, but the system that we live in, it might be more complicated when we think it, because everybody ain't who they say they is. They hide behind these, they hide behind the uniforms, is what I mean. So,
oh yeah,
that's a way to. You would think that would be a way, because they're both community, they're both social and public servants, I would say. So, how else to serve the public than to come and watch these kids while the teacher go get an hour?
Swear. Come break me out of my car. I locked myself in the car on lunch. Come break me out. I'll go back.
We got too many of them. Like, I was in Haiti. One fire truck, and that was, mind you, that's over a whole part, a mass of this whole land. One fire truck. No, and there was parts of the street burning on fire, but the people was burning trash, so they knew it was on fire. They was maintaining. Yeah. But we got all these fire departments, we got all these extra people in service. They ain't got nothing else to do but to shoot people. So look, give them something to do. Go sit your ass at the auditorium. I want you to watch all these kids.
Go and play with them on recess. Chase them around.
Yeah.
Okay, next episode. That's what we're talking about. Because I think you got something there. You know what I mean? We also going to cover the protesting. And we're going to cover next time we meet. It'll be on your show. It'll be on my show. We're going to meet somewhere. Because the people love this. And I love it. And it's been educational.
Invite me on, and then let me remind y'all, I got 6 more. I got one in person is just called. I gotta go drop off. I got 6 left. They blueberry.
Oh yeah. Y'all's fresh pressed juice. Make sure y'all tap in.
There is and blueberry and regular.
Ashe. That looks delicious.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man.
Yes, same. This was a pleasure. Thank everybody for tuning in, tapping in. Thanks for everybody that shared the show. Make sure y'all like it. Make sure y'all tap in with everything we got going on. And we're going to see y'all soon. Peace.